Well, hello there, and good evening, or good night, or good morning, or wherever you are in the world you may be. This is another talk on AzureConf. I'm happy to be hosted here in lovely Redmond, Bellevue. Pretty excited to be here, and I'm going to give you a little presentation on media services. My name is Mike Martin, and I'm from Belgium. I'm one of the lucky three Belgians in the world who good to be here together with my colleagues. I'm an architect for Crosspoint Solutions, where I do basically most of the Microsoft stuff. I'm a meet member for Microsoft Belgium, which is an extended experts team for Microsoft in Belgium. I'm a crew member of the Belgian user group Azure. I'm a Windows Azure Insider. I'm a Microsoft Azure MVP since April 1st, which was a funny joke of that day. If you had questions, if you got remarks or anything like that, you can always follow me and DM me on Twitter with my handle at techmike2kx, or just send me an email on mike.martin@csps.be. Cool. A small general announcement. You've been hearing it the entire day already, but I'm just going to pump in a little more info on that one. April 27th, we have the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp coming up, which is for us a very big event. We try to set a world record there, and in the end, we are almost 100 community-led events worldwide already. So that means we started off by just thinking about 10, and now we already have 100 locations worldwide. Even penguins are joining in. Come and join us. If you want more info on that, just go to globalwindowsazure.azurewebsites.net. You can find anything there if you want to join in on the online experience. Now, on my talk today, I'm gonna I got a couple of topics. Because media services, it's a large beast, and it's something we know or might know already, but still gonna talk about it. What I'm gonna do today is defining a little bit what media services is, what's inside the box, and what you can expect, how to use media services in uploading and managing your content, how to encode your assets in the media services stream. Delivery is also important, because what you put in there you want to get out. Consuming it in order to play it on the different platforms like HTML and Windows 8. And there's a little small director's code about things that I put in the end, just in case that they wouldn't make sense. So first of all, let's see what this media services thing is all about, right? Well, actually, it's a complete ecosystem based upon the things we already know. Yeah? It's scalable, and it has the building blocks we already know in Windows Azure. Most of the time, it's just plain storage that you have, and it has some encoding features, and it has some distribution features. And it works well together with third-party media components in Windows Azure. And it enables every industry partner to easily use the platform and leverage the platform to stream media. One of the biggest events that has been using media services was the Olympics in 2012, where they did some nice capturing of the entire games through media services, which was a very, very nice thing to be seeing. Yeah. It's open, meaning that there's players for all kinds of platforms. I mean, you have players for Android, iOS. You can stream to any browser. You can stream to any platform like Xbox or True Flash or something like that. Windows 8 is well supported in that one, so that's also a nice thing to have. What you can basically do with it is, if you take a look at the architecture of the platform, is you get the media services having ingestion capabilities, so uploading your assets to the cloud, which can be either secure or non-secure. So you can protect them through you can protect your content. Yeah. You can encode your content, your assets in the cloud, or you can even pre-encode them if you want to. You can have on-demand delivery, on-demand origin, so locators that you want. You can schedule your jobs, your medial jobs. You can have a complete workflow created on that one. There's some built-in partner media processors. That's more commercial thing, so I'm not going to talk about that. You can have somewhere in the future, which is on the roadmap, some live ingestion, but I don't know any more about that. It's just I know we have been talking about that a long time ago, and it must be somewhere coming up. Don't know when, don't know why, but it will be coming up somehow. There's some analytics on there, and identity management and advertising. So basically, it's the same things that you know from the other components in Windows Azure. So totally built on top on Windows Azure, so you can have the same scalability, you can have the same processing, you can have the same power and provisioning, and you can have the same capabilities that you know and that you trust in Windows Azure. Yeah. Next to that, you have some RESTful APIs, which you can call, which help you do everything through code if you want to. Built on that, you can find some third-party software that's already been built on. And then you have, of course, you're just not playing locally, so most of the time you want to transfer and create proximity, and that you can do through the Azure CDN, which is capable of transferring all your assets to a closer location for your customers. Also, there's a caching element and an origin element there. And of course, all the platforms that are supported on the Windows Azure Media Services service. Yeah, sorry. You get Windows 8 that's supported out of the box, iOS, Xbox 360, so you can encode to any platform that you want. Some of the characteristics in the different building blocks. In the uploading building blocks, you can have a pre-encryption possibility. Which allows you to send through everything pre-encrypted, so that way you can make sure that your transfers are secure. It all goes through HTTPS, so that's a secure way of uploading. And there's always also a capability in multiple uploads at the same time, so that way you can have a multi-stream of asset management uploads. For the encoding part, it supports most of the industry standards for video, which is the H.264 codec and the VC1 for the Windows Media videos format. There's also some audio encoding to AAC, HEAC, Dolby, DDD, and WMA. So there's a large support for all these codecs available in the platform. Yeah. As an on-demand streaming, you can have a high bandwidth managed streaming service, which is a which is very high capable, so you get a high throughput there with auto recovery and redundancy, which allows you to have a very nice back there. High availability, which is already known as a keyword within the Windows Azure platform, and that stays the same as in anything in Windows Azure. Yeah. Of course, as I already stated, there's integrated Windows Azure CDN support, so it makes it easy for you to distribute your assets all over the world, which is a good thing, of course. And the fun thing about on-demand streaming is that you only need to store one set and you can redeliver in multiple formats throughout the portal itself, so that makes it very easy to manage. Yeah. Now, of course, the most important thing is how do we use this media services, because there's a multitude of ways we can use it. And one of the first things we can do is either just click and play the portal way, so we have the portal with all the capabilities. Most people will say that there's still some features missing, but I'm very sure the portal will be very updated and like anything else in Windows Azure. And it's actually there's already a lot of material in there, so I kind of like it that way. There's of course an SDK, AA. Now it's just a good thing. Developers can use it without going through the REST API, and of course there is a REST API, as I already mentioned. The SDK allows you to do anything that you are allowed through the portal, so that's a good thing too. You can easily upload through the SDK, you can easily encode, you can easily deliver, redefine the URIs from the streams and things like that. You can do the complete asset management, so we can go through that in a couple of minutes, so that way we can I can demo you how it works. Yeah. So, and speaking of which, well, we'll immediately show you how to upload. I'll show you a demo of how to upload a file on a very easy way. So let me go to my Visual Studio. Let me just check this out. Voila. Where is it? Escape. I think that will be better. Yes, okay. So I'm gonna start with a new project. I'm gonna make it a normal console application. There you go. Just making it a console application, do it demo one. There we go. Of course, I already prepared the code because it makes it easier to see and to talk at the same time. So let me open that. Here we go. So what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna go and add my references. Now, luckily enough, there's a NuGet package for the Media Services SDK, which simplifies the use of the SDK. So first of all, I'm going to add it to the solution. I'm going to do it. The package is called Microsoft Windows Azure Microsoft.windowsazure.mediaservices. Azure, come on. Let me show you. Ah, here we go. Windows Azure dot media services. Here we are. Dot media services. So we're gonna add that to the solution. Give it a second. Sorry about that. I get a sniff, so if you from time to time hear me sneeze or something like that, it's totally normal. Just get a nice allergy brought back from Belgium, so it's not the Seattle weather that's doing me this this nose thing. So it's adding my solution now. Here we go. So that's added. So immediately you can see that the that it added the basic components that we need, of course, and there's, because it's based on OData, so you can easily read everything through the OData thing. It does the service media services client, which installs it, and you also see that it's based on the Windows Azure Storage client. Yeah. So that way I can now show you the way it works. I'm just going to add a couple of more references before I start, because I want to upload a file, so I'm going to need the I.O. I'm going to add the extra threading just to make sure. And I'm going to, of course, add the reference to the Microsoft .media Windows Azure Media Services. Reference. Here we go. I'm going to paste this. What's in here is the first of all, you need to start with a media context, which is actually your Windows Azure Media Services account, storage account. So you give it the name, you give it the shared key. So it works the same way as your storage account. And then I'm gonna just basically, I'm gonna select a file which I have on my hard drive. I'm gonna upload the asset, and I'm gonna create an empty asset first. So it's gonna give me a space on the storage, and I can have some extra options here. I don't know if it's good readable. Let me just resize it a little bit. So what you can do is immediately the pre-recording thing. Looks like this one hasn't been. Why isn't it? What am I missing? Oh yeah, media services client. Yeah, okay, sorry about that. So immediately you can see that you have a lot of options when you want to upload the file. You can do some common encryption, or you can storage encrypt your files for uploading. I'm just going to go with none. And then you're going to create the asset file on the storage, so that way there's a spot. And we start uploading it. So if I execute this, you will see if I start running this, you will see that the file will be uploaded. So I'm going to show you the file. The file is located here in the assets folder. So it's actually the I don't know which one are the leader cinematic. So it's this one that is going to upload. So if I now go to my storage, my Windows Azure Media Services account, and I go to my content, I'll show you the rest of the portal in a second. It's loaded. Yeah, there we go. You see immediately it's on. I'm still in Belgian time, so it's on 11:48:04 that the upload has been done for today. So that means because now it's 14:49, so that means there's a time gap here somewhere, but that's a file just uploaded to my media services account. Now that we are in the portal, of course, if you want to create a new one, it's very easy. You just go to add new media services, and then just click create. You give it a name, you give it a region and your storage account, if you want to have a new storage account, or you just can add it. Yeah. So just go to a new storage account and create it. It's like anything else in the storage account, in normal storage accounts that you know. Right. So from here out, you can also upload your assets. So you don't always have to do it through code. You can easily do it to the portal itself. How do you do that? Well, you can either choose from a local file, like I did just now, Or you can do it through the, if you already have some blob storage somewhere and you have some files already there, like from your blog or from another website or something, and you want to reuse that one, you can easily upload it from there. Yeah, I'm just going to demo it again from a local file. So I'm going to go to the Azure Demo Config and go to the Assets folder. And just take another one, this one for instance, and I open it. And just press OK. Well, it starts uploading. As you can see, it's rather fast in uploading. If you get a good, of course, your bandwidth is the one killing factor. If it's not uploaded very fast, it's your own provider. But like with anything else, that makes sure that it doesn't get uploaded fast or real fast. So here we are. So that has been already uploaded. So it's a 420 kilobyte file. You can, if you want, you can encode it immediately from here out. So let's see what you can do from encoding at that point. You got a lot of choices in the encoding part. You get a lot of formats that support it out of the box. You can have common presets for playback on PC and Mac through Flash and Silverlight, which is a common one. I'll demonstrate later on how to consume those. You get playback through HTML5. Which is supported on the most platforms, of course, as we know, i.e. Chrome and Safari. Playback on any iOS device and PC and Mac, so that's more a stream that is more generic than the other two. Yeah. And then you have some advanced presets. You can define whether you want it in high definition, 1080p or non-720p. You want it on either broadband or smooth streaming, which is also a difference. You can have one in MP4 with adaptive bit rates. There's iOS for cellular, so especially for the iPhone series. And you also have smooth streaming for Windows Phone 7. Now, I do believe that seeing that there's a lot of more on the market, I do believe that there will be more encoding capabilities on the way somehow, if you don't find your choice. But I think this will already cover most ground. You just give it a name. I'm going to go with the playback through HTML or PC, which is a good thing. And just go through this. And it starts creating a job for me. And if you go and check out the job pages, this is where all the tasks of encoding come in a queue. You can see that it already started encoding my video. So that way you can also, in programmatic style, you can also start creating a complete workflow if you want to upload files and want to start encoding on the fly or a scheduled task. You can do that through code too, which I will show in a minute. But this is exactly what you see in the portal. So as you can see, I've uploaded the video. I started encoding, and now it's just have to wait until the video is ready. So it gives me a job idea which I can reuse, which I can call out, because there's an asset tag created for that one. There's some, you can report, you can have a report card on all the jobs that have been launched. If you want to have a faster way of encoding and you want more performance behind it, you can scale the way your encoding has been done. That way you can easily go through the portal and you can set your units of encoding on a higher rate. So that way, just like anything else in Windows Azure, if you want more performance, if you want better performance in encoding or in even in on-demand streaming, you can have more instances of your media services reserved, so that way your encoding goes a lot faster or your media services are better divided on the performance thing. So let's see how my job is doing. And I think it will be almost, yeah, it's finished. So you see it finished after a couple of seconds. So it actually took me 2 minutes to encode the entire file. So if you now go back to the content, you will see that my original file, which was this one, is now a source. And this one I've created through the encoding. So I can now publish this for consumption. So I just do click publish, click yes. And in a couple of seconds, there's a link generated on which I can consume. If we copy that link, we allow it. And if we copy that link and we paste it in the bar. Oh, I see it's not ready yet. Yeah, okay, no problem. It's a HD stream, so I can play it immediately from the portal. So this playing capability, so that way you can see that there's a real video already there. I think I was a little bit too fast on this one. Yeah, it's buffering now. On. Although it said it was finished. There you go. So there it is. And that way the video is now being played. Right. Cool. So if you want to do the encoding in code, yeah, that's a funny one. If we want to do the encoding in code, we have a lot of support from the SDK also. I also have a little piece of code on that here. So let's see how that works. Just gonna do and upload the same file again. But that way it's like you, in the end we get a complete flow, so that you see what will happen in the code. So I'm gonna upload the same asset again. I'm gonna encode it in a H.264 broadband 720 format. Yeah. And what I really want to do is now create a job which will start the encoding for me. Yeah, so that way to the preset that I've mentioned here, so here, which is highlighted, then we choose the media processor. In this case, it will be the media encoder that we're going to use. Yeah, if there's a third party encoder in there, you can also choose that one, and that way it will be encoded through the encoder that of your choice. I will add a task. Yeah. With all the presets that we've selected, yeah, we choose the asset to encode. Yeah, we create a new output asset, so that's the output that we're creating. And we also can have again the choice of whether we want to protect it, yes or no, with encryption. I'm just going to leave that on no. Then we have the job state that we can highlight and see what's going on with our job, so we can really monitor our progress through code. We submit it and we execute the process, the progress. So if we now start running this and we put the portal next to it, let me restart that. So my upload has already started, as you can see. I wanted it in the background, but I didn't see my Internet Explorer did an naughty thing. Let's go immediately to the thing. There we go. So the upload has been completed after a couple of seconds. So it only took me like 10 seconds to upload. If I now take a look at the jobs, you will see immediately that there has been a job created, so it's this one. Yeah, see it, 11:59, so it's the same time, which is running now, which is encoding, and within a couple of seconds this one will say that it has finished, and you will also see it in the portal. So that way you can create an entire workflow of how you want to encode and upload your files. So if you have, or if you are a large media company or something that or a company that has a lot of video and assets to manage, this is an easy way to automate your style in managing your assets, which is a nifty way in my capabilities. So that has an advantage that you can do everything through code and that you can have scripts available just for your convenience. So as you can see here the processing states 100, so it's finished, the console application is gone, and you will see in a second that here the finish will also be called. There we go. So that way we now can go back to our content, and you will see that there is now a 720p video uploaded. It hasn't been published yet because I didn't give the signal. Now, if we want to publish it, we can also do this through code, which is also one of the advantages of the SDK. So everything in the REST API has been made available through the REST to the Media Services SDK. I also have a piece of code for that. So that's the third part of the demo. So we're going to create a stream URI for that one. If I just can up, I'm gonna do the same thing again. Voila. Now we're gonna see the entire workflow going. Now the important thing here is that you have a again, you go through the same context, so that's your storage account for Media Services. We're gonna go over the list, and we're gonna see what we've created with the last one. So since we're going back from the beginning, we've created the asset ID, which we has always been running through this code. So we're gonna reuse that. You also need to give a timing that's a change since the previous version, since the preview SDK, because it has been breaking changes since the preview SDK. So the code that you're seeing now and you're still using the preview SDK will be totally changed. There's a good blog post by Ming Fei on the breaking changes, and one of these is that the availability of the stream is now obliged, so you need to give that with it. Also, the access policy can be set, so you need a time span on the context, so that way you can make sure that nothing wrong happens to your files. So in the end, it's going to run over through the files, through the assets that we have in Media Services, and it's going to give me a URI. So let's run this. And meanwhile, I'm going to open my Media Services again. So as you can see, I'm going to do the same thing again, but this time now with a complete flow and a publishing capability. Meanwhile, that gives me the opportunity to... Really sorry about that noise, but there's no way around. So it's still uploading now. It started uploading. Give it a couple of seconds. It will almost be there. If we take a look at the content, wow, there we are. So the upload is completed. It will now start the job just as we saw before. There we are. So it's still processing. So as you can see, it's still a task going on. So cute. If you get multiple queues waiting, you get multiple instances, then the load will be divided. So if I start another one, it can easily be balanced on the instances that you have. So the more instances you have, the more queues you can run. Meanwhile, it's still processing. We'll be almost there in a couple of more seconds. Almost there. Loading. Takes a while now. All right, there it is. So 100%. Now we're gonna see it appearing in the console. It's just waiting for a status callback. There we are, finished. And it immediately, the last line that you saw was the URI that it created. So if you now go back to the content, you will see that immediately it has been published and that it is available over broadband. So if you open this one, just maximize this for a second, our access, you will see that it created a, that wasn't the meaning. You will see immediately that it created a complete URI heading for an MP4. So if I now just paste it, this in a, it allows me to get my MP4 directly from the website. So if I now just click it, the media player application of Windows will open up the file. Voila. So that way the stream is available in an MP4 format, so that way you can start consuming it. This, again, the same movie I used as the intro. Okay, here we go. So that's what you can do with the Media Services SDK. There's of course a lot more. You can set every kind of encoding preset. There's a good reference documentation on the MSDN pages which you can use with all the encoding well explained on which to use where and what better to do. So that's a good thing to look at. I will put it in my slide deck so that way it will be available for you. Back to the slides. So as I stated before, the you first need a context. That's where you can't. I'm going to go over it again just to make sure that everybody got it. Just create a context, create an asset with the name first, then the uploading, and then the eventual uploading. So, first create a space for that, and then the eventual uploading. Then, one ring to rule them all. So, the encoding your assets, you just use a platform and you encode to the format that you would like, that you would want to have. You can have multiple jobs, and in that job you can have multiple tasks. So again, by use of the media processes, in this case the Windows Azure Media Encoder, with the correct context, you give the format name and you start encoding it the way you want to. You add the assets and then you just submit the job, and that way your job will start running. And of course, the most important part is that you deliver your streaming, so that way people can start consuming it. You have the locator thing, which is okay. You have on-demand origin, so the origin is where you want to either stream or not. The access policy that comes with it, so that's for encoding, for delivery. Now, the most, it's not only the encodation which is important, but also how we consume it. Yeah? There's a multitude of platforms today that people use: mobile devices, PCs, tablets, laptops, PDAs. Maybe you don't know, you never know what people still use on devices. And if we go for the Reach story, you get a lot of Microsoft endpoints, which are Silverlight, Xbox, phone, and Windows 8, and you can either have smooth streaming capabilities, or you can have a Dash, which is Dynamic Adaptive Streaming over HTTP, also known as MPEG Dash, which is a high quality streaming of media content over the internet from conventional web servers. On the other hand, you can also have non-Microsoft endpoints, like the porting kit for devices. There's Flash, of course, iOS, So native Apple support and native iPhone and iPad support. And there's the Android support also through HLS, which is HTTP live streaming from Apple. So that way you can reach a lot of potential end users for your content. Yeah, something to keep in mind of. Now for the smooth streaming Windows 8, since this is since Windows 8, there's a good support for smooth streaming from within Microsoft, and it's actually the primary media delivery platform for Windows 8. Yeah, you get light up support for event video elements. So what you have is that you can have support for HTML5. You have support for XAML modern style applications, and you have support for C++, which are of course the basic platform development platforms for Windows Store apps. So everything that's supported in Windows Store apps is also supported for smooth streaming in Windows 8. Yeah. An easy way to consume smooth streaming, this port existence, and there are some VS templates and client frameworks available for that. There's a player framework and there's a client SDK for that. There's also a smooth streaming extension SDK, which allows you to use the application with a video source from the URL, and a media engine in Windows 8 platform immediately recognizes it, and it can natively support the codec H.264, WMV, sorry, and VC1, etc., etc. There's a playback pipeline, so you get decoding. You get a renderer for the video, then you go over to the decryption if you have DRM enabled, and there's also the Media Foundation interface on that one. Yeah, and then on that, up to that, there's a smooth streaming extension SDK. There's also a great framework to be found on Coplex, which is called the Microsoft Media Platform Player Framework. And this one allows you to, which is shipped as an open source, yeah? It allows you to use the capabilities of a smooth streaming client. And it's available for multiple of platforms. It's available for the Windows 8 player. It's available for HTML5 and Silverlight and Windows Phone player. So that way you can have a big reach on the entire platform. That I already stated, okay. So it's a well-established player, and it has a pluggable architecture, so it's important for you. Let me quickly show you what this is all about. Oh, there goes my PowerPoint. That's okay, I'll restart that. So I close this application and I go and open the other application. So in Windows 8, in a store app, you can easily add the Media Player framework, which allows you to basically do everything with the assets that you've created. So just add the reference to the Microsoft Player framework, which can be downloaded from the playerframework.coplex website. You import it and you can just start coding away. So in this case you just define it as a Microsoft Player Framework reference and just place it in there, and immediately Windows 8 will recognize it. So if I now press F5, you will see that the file that which is hosted on a sample drive will be streamed immediately through the application itself. So that way you can have the capabilities of a nice, as you can see, of a nice video player in Windows 8. So you have all the capabilities out of the box. You can immediately have some controls. You can add additional controls, which I will show in the next demo. You can have additional controls on that. You can have closed caption on that. So very nice things on that one. Cool. Of course, it's not only Windows that you're focusing on, it's also the web that you mostly will focus on as a Windows Azure user. You probably will have some websites where you want to stream the assets that you have encoded in media services. So that way you can easily use HTML5 or Silverlight or even Flash. Now I got here a stream that I've created earlier, so it's again the cinematic leader, and I've created an HTML5 body for that. So I'm gonna play this purely through HTML5. I created a small website on the Windows Azure, so let me just publish that. Here we go. So that way it will be loaded. Let's see how my website is acting up. If it's willing to. No, it's, I think it's totally dead. Yeah, okay. So if I now open this my media play, you can see immediately that the movie is playing. Just to show you, here we are. So it's really using that source. So it's easier like that. So you just need to make sure that you have the video source. Just by using the video tag, you set the height and the weight of the player that you want to use. You set the source and the type that you want to use, and the way you encoded it, it depends on the type that you want to play off. So that's a stream that I've created earlier, yeah, as you can see. Of course you want a Silverlight player for the, if you want full, if you want some other, if you prefer Silverlight more than that, you can easily do that too. So I'm just gonna put this away. Voila. And if we now publish this, so what basically it does is continue here. Basically what it does is it creates it uses a XAP file, which is a smooth streaming player from which can be downloaded also from the Microsoft website. The URI you can find in my deck at the end. Which allows you to play the stream with a manifest file, so it's streaming, so that way you can easily adapt the play rate the way you want it. It's a Silverlight application that you just plug into your website and it works like a charm. So that has been uploaded. If we now press F5, you see immediately that the Silverlight player is being loaded. And you can play the stream from within, so you have full player capabilities, which are very nice and very manageable for your assets. So that way your end user, your consumer, can do anything with the video that he wants. Wow. That being said, I still get a couple of minutes, so that's a good thing. I'm gonna go back to my presentation. Where was I? So there's a couple of more things that I would love to talk to you about before my time is up. So what we can still show here is, yeah, we saw that slide already. Apparently I got a small director's cut, like in any good DVD. Hopefully you find my DVD as good as any other. There is content protection available. It can be used through the Play Ready system hosted by Microsoft. So that way you can protect your and restrict your access to the media content. So that way if you get the certificate and the stream correctly, that way you can protect your assets. So and funny thing is, Kevin asked just the same question at the moment I was presenting this. So Kevin, I hope that was an answer for your question. There's also closed caption support. So if you want to have subtitles, you can easily implement those inside your application. I'm going to show you that in a couple of seconds in the demo. Another thing I would like to say a little word on it is a great support for advertising. If you base your income on advertising, you can have advertising inside your videos in an overlay, so that way your consumers can have can consume commercials. You as a broadcasting company can have more income on that one. So there's, yes, there is support on advertising if you need it. Yeah. I'm no expert in advertising, but as I see it, it has a very wide range of advertising capabilities. So every industry standard is supported. So a small demo on the closed caption, so that way you can see what the capabilities are there. So I'm going to open closed caption demo with a video that we all know from the past. So give it a second to load. What that basically does, it adds some XML files to your video player. So this is a JavaScript HTML5 Windows 8 application. What it basically does, it adds a couple of XML files where you set the timing. I'm going to zoom in so that way you can see. Where you set the timing of where the subtitles should be shown. Yeah. So if you get a good, so that way you get a good idea of when of what subtitles you need to show. Yeah. So if I run this thing, I have two captions here. So that way you can even switch between two different languages or a multitude of languages, so that way you can support multi-language language videos for a broader range of consumers. If we take a look at the page itself, so I have a stream here. You just set the player framework media player, which we've already talked about earlier. So the media, the player framework media player supports closed caption. You just set the captions file which you want to use. In this case, it's an English and a Spanish one. And if we run this application, you will see immediately, if it starts up, you will see immediately that the video will start playing. So I hosted it on my stream. So it's the IM PC commercial. And as you can see here, it's in English. If I now turn to the Spanish one, it immediately turned to the Spanish closed caption. So that way you can easily switch between captions and you can have a good conversation with your consumer of the video. So again, streaming video supported, so very easy, very nice. Here you also see the nice player capabilities of the player framework. So there's a lot of things you can do with the player framework. Yeah. Wow. So that being said, I'm almost at the end of my talk here. There's just one more thing that I would like to show you, is that it's still open, sorry. I hope you saw that. I'm not sure, because I saw that now that the slides were still up there. Maybe I'll just show you the demo again, still get a couple of minutes just to make sure. Just kill this escape. So here we are again. So here we have the caption files, as I told you. So in English and in Spanish, so you have the timing here. So if I run this one once more, when it streams, yeah, no, you don't see the caption. Okay. If I can now, I can't change my. Wait, I can try. No, I can't try it. Okay. So here you see the caption, and I use a good switch, but my application is too big now because of the screen size. So, but you just have to take my word for it. Okay. All right. So, in the end, there's the resources I was telling you about. So I have placed some links in my deck where you can find the player framework on Coplex, the smooth streaming client SDK, which you can use, the play ready client for protection. And if you want a good overview on the extended features of the Windows Azure Media Services platform, there is a lot of info on the WindowsAzure.com website. Also, very nice to know is that if you're still not a Windows Azure customer, you can have some benefits through MSDN or to MPN or Bispark, which is a very good program if you're a startup. So please, if you're a startup, do so. And then it is obliged by me again to say that don't forget, 27th of April, we have the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp. Be there. Try to be part of the world record that we're having and that we want to put up with. Be there. We just want as much as possible people available and having a blast with us, trying to bring the Windows Azure data center to a new level by using one generic lab that we're going to do all over the world at the same time. So if you want to be some part of a unique event, please join us on April 27th. And with that being said, I will say, like a director, and cut. Thanks, everyone. It's a wrap. It was a pleasure being here, and I hope to see you somewhere again next year or something. Okay, bye-bye.